through the service. Welcome to those of you who are online and joining us just now. We're glad you can be with us. Hope you saw in the email, we will be doing communion towards the end of this service. It'll be part of the message, and so hope you've got those elements ready to go. Let's just pray. We welcome you, Lord. Many of us have been worshiping you already this morning, not only here in person, but as soon as we woke up, we remember that this is the Lord's day, and we give it back to you, and we say, have your way, Lord, through this day. This is a time to bless you. So thank you that you are present. Thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. And yet thank you for the ways that as we come together, your presence increases. Where two or three are gathered, there I am. We claim that, Lord. We claim, like we said this morning, that you inhabit the places of your people. And when we come together, there is increase among us. Make us sensitive to your increased presence, so that we give you exactly what it is that you deserve, exactly what it is that you are looking for. Lord, we have oftentimes, and I am most guilty of this, gone to a worship service to say, I hope I get this or that. I have this particular need that needs to be met, or I've been carrying this. And we come and we're reminded that it's actually first of all you, Lord. And I pray you meet those needs and answer those questions and all of that. Yes, Lord. But first, would you be here in such a way, and may we come to recognize you in such a way that you are given first place and everything else finds its proper place under that. So we worship you, Lord. Lord, make us people, like Jesus says, that the Father is looking for, people who worship in spirit and in truth. Make us people, like Jesus says, who are people who love the Lord our God with everything that we have, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then show you that love by extending it to others. And further show you that love by extending it to one another, that new commandment that Jesus said. It wasn't enough just to love your neighbor, but especially one another. Because we take time around the meal, May that love be multiplied. May we recognize the value of the other person, the value of the conversation, the value of the work you are doing in lives. Lord, as we open your scriptures, first we say thank you. Thank you. Moses will say in this passage that what the Lord has to say to us, it's not so far away that we can't access it. Thank you that you are always making yourself present and available to your people. And thank you that that's not a presence that we simply turn into a commodity to add to our lives. Would you bring us back to this text, and would you make us aware of what the Spirit is currently saying to the church, so that we don't turn you or your word into a commodity, but that we respond appropriately to your reality. Lord, I pray that the experience this morning would be like when Jesus went to his hometown, and they handed him scriptures. And he said, this is what God's currently saying to you and currently doing among you. It's fulfilled in your hearing. So Lord, would you pair your scriptures to your people and the moment we are in with what you are doing such that we respond appropriately? Those people did not. May we not be guilty of the same. May we be people who hear your word and celebrate. Because the Lord is near us. In Jesus' name. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the guest speaker that we have coming. We've shared a couple of videos from that documentary called Father of Lights. If you haven't been with us over the last couple of weeks and you haven't seen the documentary Father of Lights, the gentleman who's coming to speak with us, his name is Robbie, and he's featured in a couple of clips from that documentary. It's not exclusively about him, but he's in a number of them. Robbie's gift is that God intervened in his life in a very powerful way as a teenager, and since then, he hears the audible voice of God every day as God wakes him up at 4 a.m. and gives him his marching orders for the day. And if you remember those clips from the last couple of weeks, it's God sending him to pretty amazing places and seeing the results of that. And the website that we're going to bring up in a minute and play the next video on, you can find those clips there again if you haven't seen them already. It's the website that we sent out where you can sign up to come join us next weekend. It's a weekend course, really. It's Friday night, all day Saturday, and then he will be speaking here on Sunday as well. You don't have to sign up for that, just come. Here he's talking about the topic that he's going to be speaking on, at least that he's proposing he's going to be speaking on this coming week. As I shared with you last week, part of the gift that Robbie brings is that hearing what God says, his marching orders for the day, has both the advantage and disadvantage of not exactly being able to plan, perhaps as neatly as you might like. And so as much as he puts a label on these events, and this one's called Power and Authority, and he'll speak about power and authority here in a minute, it's pretty fluid what actually happens because it depends on what God tells him that morning. And so it ends up being a ministry that's paired, actually just like I prayed, it's paired for a moment. It's what God is saying in a moment for a particular group of people going through a particular thing at that time. And so that's part of what is often quite special and unique about these events that he runs. And I've spoken with people who have actually traveled with him around the world and said, no two of these are ever the same because each group of people is unique. And God speaks into those particular lives and the ways that he is moving at the moment, he often confirms through someone like Robbie. And so, anyway, this is going to introduce the topic that may or may not relate to what happens this coming weekend. But anyway, it's just another way of introducing our guest speaker. So we'll play this clip and I'll explain it a little bit more in a minute.
If you have seen Father of Lights, you would have seen God moving with his power and his authority. I was just an instrument used by his authority and his power for God to invade his love over that lost people that I was able to reach them through Jesus. You see, with my life, understanding Jesus, I've understood two things more intimately. Jesus' authority, the enemy has power. If you look at people playing in American football, though the players have power to knock you down, the umpire has power to take them out. You see the point? They have authority. Umpires have authority to stop the game, to stop the game. You and I are the umpires. God's sent by God on this world to stop, to create, to start the presence of God to wherever we go. I'm excited to start the school in this two-day school called Power and Authority. We're going to understand how to take power from the enemy, which is meant for me, and how to use authority to create the presence, to create an atmosphere for God to come fill it. Come on, guys, this is an urgency for us to understand how God works in our mind, in our emotions, and in our desires. If we can help God to invade our lives in these three areas, I I promise you, we can be the empires God has placed us in a ground called this earth. I'm looking forward for you to get freed, for you to get trained, for you to get really, really get acquainted to the power and authority of Christ. And I'm excited to see you change this world. I love you all. We'll see you there. Thanks.
I'm going to start ending my messages with, I love you all. Let me paraphrase what it is that he just said. Correct me if I'm wrong, but football does not have umpires. Is that right? Referees? Someone, I heard a friend once say, if the ball doesn't have a point, what's the point? I never agreed with that because I grew up in baseball. But I don't know football that well. But anyway, I spoke with Robbie on the phone. He's like, and I'm still learning English. So you have to, and he's joking. But all that to say, some of this needs to be perhaps framed and just paraphrased a little bit for you. What he is saying here is that you and I have the authority of Christ to exercise that authority on his behalf, the same way that a referee does or an umpire does in a game. That's the identity that God has given you. You are his image bearers. He has put his spirit into you. He will say to his disciples, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. And yet we don't often walk in that authority because there have been wounds or lies that we have experienced or believed, and therefore we end up giving the enemy power instead. Okay? Come on! That's what he said, right? Come on! I'm getting you ready for next week. Come on! I love you all. So the weekend, at least as he is framing it, such that we as we step into the authority that God has given us, we then act more like Christ in the spheres that he has given us influence until we actually become the umpires or referees to make the calls and further the things that God wants done in all of the places that he has given us. But it means first getting freedom and healing, meeting Jesus, being filled with his spirit, and so on. And so that's all part of that. So that's what he's getting at. Come, see what it's like. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. I'm really looking forward to this. You're supposed to sign up, okay? So I sent out that email the other week. There's a link to the website here to sign up. You can watch other videos here, including the ones with the Father of Lights. Looking forward to having you with us. Would you grab your Bibles and go to Deuteronomy, please? We will land in Deuteronomy 30, but I'm going to walk you through where we've been. Many of you have done that Melissa's run in Banff in the fall. I know there have been groups here who have gone before. My wife is once again going this fall, and so she's getting ready to run a race. And so, as you know, you don't just wake up and decide to run long distances, right? It requires some preparation. It requires some training. And Deuteronomy is a book that is written and spoken specifically to people who are on the edge of running a marathon. Okay? They are people who are at the starting line of the marathon. And Moses has things that God has things that they need to be reminded of, they need to have in place before they can go and actually run that marathon, because it's going to be a marathon. Moses is speaking to a congregation. He's speaking to a group of people. And so as we have been going through this, if you've had moments where you're like, this doesn't touch down in my personal life the way that I'm looking for a sermon to touch down, that's because you may have missed what has been going on. This is a message, and this has been a series that is primarily to a group of people. And it only after it applies to a group of people can then properly trickle down to your life. So it does call into question, what is my place within the people of God as he is currently moving in this time? And how do I join him in what he is doing among this people? And that's where the point of personal application comes. So if this has felt somewhat awkward for you at times, it's because it's spoken to y'all more than to you. But we always have a personal response. Okay? Deuteronomy 1 starts out by Moses saying, you can't stay here anymore. He's reminding them of the time that they were at Mount Sinai, where they have this amazing encounter with God. And what God says is, you can't stay here at the place of encounter. You can't simply park on your mountaintop experience. And that's where Moses is, right? Moses has been in the glory of God for weeks on end, multiple times. And yet the people of God at the foot of the mountain are kind of walking through the valley, and they're having the very opposite experience. But the message to them is still the same. Whether you're on the mountain or you're in the valley, you can't stay here. Because God is moving. This church can't stay where it is. Because God isn't. You in your personal life then can't stay where you are because God is moving. And we've been talking about how if you feel stuck, God is moving. Following where he is going is the key to getting unstuck. And if you need help with that, we're going to talk about soul care at the end. God is moving the people into a place of risk, right? They're on the edge of the promised land. He's taken them to a place of risk and danger. Okay. It's not simply risk of the unknown, it's outright danger. Right? And the people respond and say, we don't want to take the risk. We're scared for our children. They're probably scared for themselves. But they say, we're scared for our children. And the place where God is asking us to risk will involve our children. But the interesting thing about what happens at that time is that it's the parents who, in not taking the risk, are the ones who actually suffer the consequences of it. And the people that they were worried about protecting are the people who will step into that inheritance in place of their parents. It reframes risk. Where is God moving now? And what are the excuses that we put up for not following where he's going? We moved on to Deuteronomy 2 and 3, and we focused on two kings. Before they cross into the promised land, God brings them face to face with two enemies, two kings who come out against them. And then the point that he makes from those two encounters with enemies that are defeated, he says in chapter 3, is that just like God defeated those enemies for you, when you get to the promised land, he will do the same thing again. And the point was that the ways that God is currently moving among us are a foretaste of what is ahead. What has he been doing here? It is a foretaste of what is coming next. And it's God's work. We moved on to chapters 5 to 7, and we picked up just one word that gets repeated in those chapters. God reminds the people that he is jealous for them. After that message, I was praying here the next week and wandering around the pews, praying, and I found this note. I'm pretty sure I know whose it is. But here's the note from that particular week. God isn't indifferent. He's a jealous God who deeply loves you. God is deeply jealous for all of you, and that should fill you with love for him. The law, speaking of Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, the rules are there to teach us of God's love so that we guard our hearts from anything that distracts us from his love. The best way to be loyal to a covenant, because God's people are in a marriage covenant with God, the best way to be loyal to that covenant is to be fiercely, passionately in love with the other person. If you would like your note back, I'm going to photocopy it first. I actually put it on my wall. Because it really encouraged me. And by the way, this note was written by someone who's in their teens, who wants to be fiercely passionately in love with God. How cool is that? God is jealous for us. The book of Deuteronomy and the things that God is speaking to his people are to guard a love relationship because he is fiercely passionately committed to you and you and you and you and you to, and to us together. And the best thing that we can do to allow God to move the way that he wants is to love him so much that we let him make all of the decisions and we simply respond. And when God says, don't do this, it is always, always, always so that we guard our hearts so that we protect that covenant marriage relationship with God because he is fiercely, fiercely jealous for his people. He loves you. We moved on to chapter 8, and we talked about how when the Lord is moving, and at any time, actually, there's a compass. And if you get one point of the compass, you get them all. If you sense God's leading, he is always leading his people. If you sense his leading, then there is a corresponding set of instructions that go with it. If you only get his instructions, in other words, if some people will come up and say, I can really, what the Lord is doing in my life right now is he's really, he's teaching me patience. Well, how is he doing that? What is it that has caused you to say, I can recognize that currently the Lord is instructing me in these things? There is a corresponding leading that goes with it. If you have the leading, you get the instructions. If you only have the instructions, you get the leading. If you don't have either of those, but you know the season that you're in, you're going through a wilderness right now. I'm going through the valley. I'm on the mountaintop. Whatever is the season that you are in, there is a corresponding set of instructions and there is a corresponding leading. Just like if you know where north is, you have every other point on that compass. That came out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, where the Lord says to his people that I led you through the wilderness for 40 years. They're in a season being led. And the Lord then says, and I disciplined you the way a father instructs or disciplines a child. And he's not talking about I spanked you. He's saying that I gave you the teaching that was necessary in order for you to be in that season. If you have the instructions, you can find the leading. If you only have the leading, but you know this, you can find the season. They're all there. They're all there in the scriptures. So what is the season that you need to be in? What is the leading that you have noticed? Or what has he been speaking personally to you? If you can find one of those, you can find the others. And it is increasingly important that we recognize those things so that we respond to what God is doing. We moved on to chapter 18. Where the Lord speaks about sending prophets. And we talked once again about prophecy, about it being absolutely crucial that the Lord's people always be able to hear what God is currently saying to the moment that we are in, to the group of people that we are in. It was always part of God's plan to the point that when God pours out his spirit in Acts 2, and from then on, he makes every person able to see and hear God. Every person, because it was crucial for the Lord's plan as he built his church that people not only know this backwards and frontwards, but that people also be attuned to what the Lord is saying. He says it from this, and it will be confirmed here, but he speaks specific things to people at specific times, and he wants to use every person with breath in this room. It's absolutely crucial. Interestingly, after that message, I get an anonymous note. Here it is. I put it up on my wall too. It says running water. We'd spent listening time listening afterwards. We can't just say everyone should be a prophet and then spend no time attempting to ask the Lord, what is it that you're saying now? And giving him a moment to speak. And what someone heard and saw was running water. Not running water in the bathroom, right? It's not running toilet or something like that. God was speaking about a specific thing that he was doing. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water, which Jesus spoke about the Spirit. As you come to him and drink, you will find running water. You will find living water. He is pouring that out here. Last week, we talked about excrement, about holiness. And I gave you the image of that holiness, doing what the Lord has said and living a life of character and purity and righteousness is not simply because God poo-poos fun. The life of holiness is a life of is a life of giving the Lord an invitation to come closer. It is always about giving the Lord an invitation to come closer. And I gave you the analogy of someone being a teacher and inviting that teacher over for dinner, but you're wearing a shirt that says, I hate teachers, and you feed them something that they're allergic to, and then you go on to have a fun time of entertainment doing stuff that they don't actually like. You're not really going to foster that relationship, are you? We're not really, by doing such a thing, going to invite that person to become closer to us, are we? That's what holiness is like. Holiness is always about living a life of more hospitality towards the Lord. It is always about welcoming him to come closer. That's why we guard this relationship. That's why we do the do's and the don'ts, so that we foster a relationship because he is fiercely jealous for you. He loves you. That's why we live lives of holiness. That's why we pursue purity and righteousness. It's not because these are stuffy things. It's because we love the Lord so much, we would do anything for this person. Anything. Would you go to chapter 30, please? I thought we were done with Deuteronomy series. This is where the Lord brought me this week. I'm going to read this passage. And I'm only going to make 2 points, both of which Sarah already made this for. Do you want to preach, Sarah? Because you got them both. No? Okay. Which was awesome. Moses, as he is speaking to these people now, is speaking to a people on the edge of their inheritance, on the edge of their promised land. But he is speaking as though he's saying, I know you're already going to screw up. And when you screw up, what the Lord's going to do is he's going to take you out of this promised land. And you're going to spend time in exile. But even if that happens, here's what comes next. So it will be that when all of these things happen, you've gone off into exile, and the Lord has scattered you, and you return to the Lord, verse 2. When these things happen, but you return to the Lord, your God, and you obey him with all of your hearts and soul in accordance with everything that I am commanding you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from your captivity, from your exile, and he will have compassion on you, and he'll gather you again from all of the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of your countrymen are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord will gather you again, and from there he will bring you back. The Lord your God will bring you into the land, promised land, which your fathers had inherited, and which you shall again possess. And he will be good to you. He will make you more numerous than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will, this translation says, circumcise your heart. What Sarah read this morning says, cleanse your heart. We'll come back to that. It's this idea of completely dedicating our hearts once again to the Lord. It's like if you took a wedding ring off, you're now putting it back on. That's the image here, essentially. The Lord is going to make sure you have that wedding ring on. And he'll do that not only for you, but for the hearts of your descendants after you, your children. The people that they said we couldn't take to the promised land because it was too risky, he'll do that for them. He'll do it so that you may live. The Lord your God will inflict all the curses he just spoke about on your enemies and on those who hate you and persecute you. So instead of what he said they will experience, it'll be their enemies instead. And you will again obey the Lord and follow his commands, which I am commanding you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in every work of your hand. He'll prosper the children of your womb, the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers and your mothers. If, verse 10, if you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, for this commandment, which I am commanding you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it too far away. It's not in heaven that you should say, who go up to heaven for us and get it for us and proclaim it to us so that we may follow it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you could say, so that you'd have to say, who will cross the sea and get it for us and proclaim it to us so that we could follow it? On the contrary, the word is very near. It's in your mouth. God has made himself accessible. God is always accessible. Regardless of the week that you have, the Lord is just as accessible to you. It's very near. In your mouth, in your heart, so that you may follow it. See, verse 15, I have placed before you today life and the good or happiness and death and evil. In other words, it's two choices. In everything that I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, so that you may live and become numerous, and that the Lord your God may bless you. Hear the heart of the Lord. The Lord is searching for ways to bless you. Searching for ways to bless you. Remember, the note said, he's not indifferent, but he's jealous. Jealous for you. He is looking for ways to entice you to more of him. He is looking for ways that as we come to him, he can bless us even more. God wants to give you with more of himself. The only question is whether or not they're going to return. That's it. He is looking for ways to bless them. But if your heart turns away, verse 17, and you will not obey, but you allow yourselves to be led astray, and you worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today, you will certainly perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and to take possession of it. You won't inherit the promised land. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have placed before you life and death, blessings and curse. So choose life in order that you may live, both you and your descendants. And live by, how do you get life? How do you get life? By loving the Lord your God. Just love him. Just love him. How do you get life? Just love him. Just love Jesus for it. Just love Jesus for every single day. How do you get life? Just love Jesus. He loves you, just love him back. It's not hard. It's not hard to love the people you love, right? Choose life by loving the Lord your God. And when you love him, it's really easy to obey. Like, it takes all the work out of it. It redefines holiness when you love him. When you love him, it's easy to obey. It's easy to do the things that he says we should do. So I just want to be with him. Spend more time with them. I want to be closer. Just love them. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding close to him. This is life. This will prolong your days so that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers and to your mothers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wanted to give it to you. This is the word of the Lord. and I trust God in you. All of this hinges on an if you return. He loves you. The question is simply, are we going to respond to that love? Or are we going to stay stuck? All that he wants to do is change everything about your life for the better. And the question is only, are we going to stay and eat with the pigs? The story of prodigal son? This is essentially the pre-prodigal son. Right here. He's talking about exile. The whole people became the prodigal son. Said, you know what? I don't care about you, Dad. I just want your money. Drop dead. I'm going to do my own thing. And what this passage is just the pre-prodigal son saying, if you wake up and say, I can't eat with pigs anymore, and I know my father's hurt, and I can just go back. If you return, he is, this passage is saying, the Lord is positioned to shower every possible good thing on you. He wants good for you and your life more than you could possibly want it. This isn't health and wealth, by the way. Can we just pause for a minute? This is not health and wealth. In fact, those things often distract us from entering into that love relationship with the Lord. But it is that the Lord wants every good thing for you that will increase blessing in your life and get you closer to him. He is always the first reward, but then he doesn't stop with himself. He does add those other things. Like, he can't get away from material blessings in scripture because it's just right there. Right? But it's, what is God getting at? Is God's goal to make you rich? No. God's goal is that this marriage relationship get better and better and better. This marriage relationship between us and the Lord. And is this going to be a church, speaking corporately, that is going to respond to the Lord and say, we are here to do whatever it is that you are saying, simply because we love you? Are we going to once again return with our hearts corporately to the Lord and say, you set the direction, you do it? Because you can't separate the thing that God wants to do with where God is. Let me explain that. If returning to the Lord, like that's a spatial image, right? I'm here in exile as the prodigal. We as the people are here in exile and we are returning to the Father, right? It's a spatial thing, right? Where's the Lord going in the passage? Where does the Lord want to go? Where's the Lord want to go in the passage? Where are these people? What's the starting one? Promised land. The Lord is moving his people in a particular direction, and returning to the Lord means that in spite of the fact that we may not even want to go into the promised land, if he is moving there, I will go where he is moving. And that happens to be the location of the blessing. Are you following this? The Lord is moving his people in a particular direction. And if we are returning to the Lord and the Lord is moving here, we must go with him in order to honor that relationship. And that's where the blessing is. The blessing isn't that we return to the Lord and we say, I repent of my sin, Lord, and now add value to my life in all the ways which I would prefer that you add value. Returning to the Lord means that we come to him and say, my entire life is like I bow down and kneel in this moment so that you determine every step I take from here on in. And that goes for us individually and even more so for us corporately. The question is, do we have that confidence? Where is the Lord leading? What has he been saying? You can't separate promised land inheritance from returning to the Lord. They go together. That's where the Lord is moving. Sarah read this. See, I've placed before you today a choice. Life on one side, but amounts to death on the other. She's like, it says, God always honors our choices. The place where you and I are at, so let's speak individually here now before we get to corporate level. The place where you and I are at is always a result of choices, right? And what God does is honor the choices that you make in your life. The people went into exile because they chose not to follow the Lord, not to follow what he was saying, not to foster that relationship, not to go where he was going. We don't want to take the promised land because it'll be bad for our children. We prefer to go our own way. And God says, okay, I'm taking you out. Okay? God always honors the choices that we make. And when we return to him, God not only honors that, but he provides momentum. Okay? When you say, I'm going to return to God, go back to the prodigal son analogy. While the son was still a long way off, what does the father do? He stands on the doorstep with his arms folded and says, Rala. Is that what he says? No. While he was still a long way off, the father runs to meet. You start returning to the Lord, and he will meet you before you get where he wants you to go. Okay? Look at it in verse 6. The Lord your God will, my translation says, circumcise your heart. It's simply a way of saying what the Lord will do is do work in your heart as you return to him so that you won't do the heavy lifting. It's not heavy lifting when you start to love someone more. What the Lord will do is increase your love for him until words like obedience and holiness and righteousness actually become desirable words to you. And when you hear those words right now, and they go clunk, screech. They don't like that. It's unappealing. It's unappetizing. What the Lord will do is if you say, I want to return to you, what the Lord will do is change your appetites so that those words actually become words that bring you life because you want more of this relationship. That's what the Lord promises. He is not expecting you to clean up every aspect of your life on your own. What he is expecting you to do is to come closer to him and let him do it. That's why we have this. Would you grab this, please? This is the reminder that God does the heavy lifting. This is the reminder that in this love relationship, we haven't made equal efforts. I don't know, maybe some of you will remember dating and appreciate this analogy. Were you ever in a dating relationship where people weren't equally in? And it became weird when this person was way more in than me, or I was way more in than this person. This makes it not weird. Okay? This is the relationship where God has done all of the heavy lifting. We simply respond and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You went way, way further than I had to go. But I'm here to be all in. God is always looking for people to be all in. He went all in. That's what this is. He went all in. And the risk that he takes is that some of us are going to either jump all in or say that's too much. But once again, it's I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose all in. Don't let the weirdness of this other push you, not the other, but the fact that he is all in push you away. Because this is where you find out. He did all the heavy lifting for you. Let us take these in remembrance of him. What I'm going to do is I'm going to offer you a moment simply to be with Jesus. Ask the Lord to speak. Give you a chance to respond to him. I would probably do Q&A after that, so if there's a burning question that you have, you can do that too. But first, meet with Jesus. I'll give you a minute. It's been a while since we've done a Q&A. And so is there anyone that has a burning question, something that they would like clarified? I actually am not offended if someone says, it wasn't clear to me. And could you rephrase that? Could you explain a little bit more? I don't pretend to be the best public speaker or the most clear. And so I would be quite happy to clarify something. You have questions, now's the chance. It's been a while since we've interacted like this. Is there anything that you want to say? Hey, what about this? This is on my mind. You can't go like this from Q&A because that looks like a green race. That's good. Okay. What we've been seeing in the last number of weeks, months, is people using the phrase, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I'm hearing the call. And yet something holds me back. I'm stuck. You know, it started right when, it's been going on for a long time, but you know, it came out even that first week where God says to Moses, you can't stay on this mountain. Satan says, I'm stuck. Stuck. There are things in our lives that get us stuck. And what we're doing this fall is we're going to do a soul care course. For those who are feeling stuck, just want to make some, ask the Lord to sort of lead us through a time of getting unstuck. So I'm just going to play a clip from that. We ran soul care last year, and I don't want to oversell or overestimate the impact that it had, but it had quite an impact. On people individually, but then also within the church, corporately, there were some things that changed here as a result of what God did through this. And so if you identify with some of this and say, I feel stuck in a particular area, I would invite you to check this out. It's a bit of a boot camp, okay? So if you're sort of, I might actually kind of check that out. This is, you know, when Jesus sometimes said, go count the cost, or like this is a bit of a boot camp. Okay, so you might want to be prepared for that. It's work, but it's so worth it. I experienced quite a bit of good things, healing, freedom through this, and I know others did as well. So we're going to do it again this year. We're going to start it on September the 21st, be here at the church. We're going to go every second Wednesday until we finish it. And so it's a commitment. The boot camp, it means I'm going to do my homework. I'm not only going to read the book, I'm going to come ready to discuss it, but then also ready to make changes. Because if you feel stuck, but then you don't want to make any changes, it's just going to be a 45-minute video and a book, but it won't make any difference in your life if we're not ready and committed to making some changes. But if you want to get unstuck, this can help. I've seen the Lord move in these ways. Can we worship? Sorry, Sarah, that was very abrupt. But let's close with more worship. We always want to respond to the Lord. He is good. Let's continue in worship. The other week, I had someone come forward afterwards and say, I don't actually know why I'm up here. sometimes that's enough of a response for God to go, we can move from here. So if you're feeling the nudge that doesn't yet have words for it, there's still a response that God is looking for. So make sure that you take that step, whatever it is, so that he will then start running to you. He's looking for you. We're having a potluck afterwards. All are welcome to stay, whether you brought something or not. If you have stuff to share, please feel free to mingle, enjoy company, conversation. Following the potluck, for any who still want to stay after that, I'm going to be facilitating a Learning to Hear God time, just sort of coaching us a little bit more and all learning to listen to God's voice a little bit more clearly. But I'll start that around 1 o'clock. But you're welcome to leave, come back. You're welcome to stay and enjoy one another's company, however you feel led. Even if, all are welcome, everyone. Go now in peace, or go later in peace, to love and serve the Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit carry you through this week. Blessings, friends. Thanks for being here.